President Rodrigo Duterte's top advisors on the pandemic set to come up with their quarantine classification recommendations today. That's as the country's COVID-19 cases top 1 million. Later on in the program, we'll speak to House Deputy Speaker Bienvenido Abante Jr. on the bill they filed seeking to penalize government officials over possible negligence and lapses in its pandemic response. The U.S. commits to share up to 60 million doses of its AstraZeneca vaccines to the world. And the rape and homicide complaint filed against 11 respondents in the Christine Becerra case has been dropped. Hi, I'm Kalina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Thanks for joining us. And for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, nice to have you with us today. President Rodrigo Duterte is set to announce new quarantine classifications in the Philippines on Wednesday. The Health Department will meet with the Interagency Task Force Against COVID-19 today to finalize their recommendation to the President. Health Secretary Francisco Duque of the modified enhanced community quarantine in the NCR Plus bubble and other provinces. On Monday, COVID-19 infections in the Philippines breached the 1 million mark. The country is the 26th in the world to reach the grim milestone and the second in Southeast Asia to do so. But Duque says it's also important to note how many of those infected have recovered.
Tama, nalampasan na natin yung 1 million mark, ano? Pero dapat din siguro alamin natin na ang total recoveries natin nasa 903,000 more or less na, no? So mataas ang recovery rate natin parang sa mga 90 to 91%, no? So siguro mas maganda yun ang tignan natin para mas positive.
The Metro Manila Mayor's Council, meanwhile, will release the recommendation for new quarantine classifications today. The head of the council, Paranaque Mayor Edwin Olivares, echoed Secretary Duque's support for an extended MECQ.
Atin pong palagay, sa ating pong sa lungsod ng Paranaque, siguro po kailangan pa upa natin ma-maintain yung ating quarantine, siguro na isang linggo pa yung ating MECQ para totally magbaba. Kasi ang tinitignan pa natin dito, yung ating critical care, yung ating critical care doon sa hospitalization. Bumababa na po yung ating pong mga nakapila sa ER, pero yung pong ating occupancy, umaabot pa rin po siya ng 70%. Pero makikita po natin, marami po talagang nawalan po ng trabaho. In the day, magkakaroon po ng consensus po ang MMC.
The Octa Research Group also pushing for the extension of MECQ until next month. Nicanor Austria Corps says while there has been a recent decline in the number of COVID-19 cases, the downtrend is only being seen in some areas. Austria Corps also stresses, apart from imposing lockdowns, the country needs to strengthen its overall healthcare system.
We're not sure if the national government has been able to in parallel to creating these beds, also hired the new healthcare workers that will be needed in order to staff these beds. And so we would like it to be more transparent with regards to these numbers.
For Marikina Mayor Marcelino Teodoro, more businesses should be allowed to reopen under an extended MECQ to mitigate job losses.
Hindi kaya na palaging ayuda at wala nang maibibigay talaga ring ayuda. What we want to happen is that any resources that we could have now be provided on improving the healthcare capacity of the city. We need to improve on our public health capacity, especially on contact tracing and immediate isolation.
The city of Cagayan in the province of Isabela is placed under a so-called general community quarantine bubble amid a surge in COVID-19 cases there. Under the GCQ bubble, the movement of all persons in the city will be limited for the sole purpose of accessing essential goods and services. Now, this means dining services will not be allowed and salons and spas, as well as cultural and leisure businesses, will be temporarily closed. This will be in effect until Sunday, May 2nd. Kauaian currently has 327 active COVID-19 cases. Mayor Bernard D. confirmed there is a community transmission in the city. Mayor D. also says hospitals and isolation facilities in Kauaian City have reached their full capacities. A Philippine lawmaker wants to make COVID-19 vaccinations mandatory. Cavite Representative Elpidio Barasaga Jr. filed House Bill 9252, which seeks to require all Filipinos to receive a COVID-19 vaccine provided for free by the government. Barasaga says a mandatory mass inoculation program is imperative to achieve herd immunity and to solve the coronavirus pandemic.
Laging unang ipupuna sa atin, this will be discriminatory because it will affect the public health of the individual. Of course, we recognize the right to public health of every individual. Unfortunately, it must be subservient to the general public health. Kasi alam naman natin ang COVID na itatransmit sa general community. Paano tayo magkakaroon ng herd immunity kung kukunti lamang o marami sa ating mga kababayan ang hindi magbabakuna?
But the Food and Drug Administration says it will be difficult to make COVID-19 vaccinations mandatory, especially since the jabs available are only approved for emergency use.
Ano yan? Very debatable yan because this is really personal autonomy, no? To have someone being a healthy person and then being injected with something. Especially if the vaccine is under emergency use authorization kasi it means the vaccine is not yet fully developed. Uh-oh. May mga side effects pa yan na hindi natin alam eh.
More than 1.7 million COVID-19 vaccine doses have been administered in the country so far. 230,000 Filipinos are fully vaccinated. The business sector not in favor of mandatory COVID-19 vaccinations. Sergio Ortiz Luis Jr., the president of the Employers Confederation of the Philippines, says none of the companies and employees he has spoken with approve of the proposed measure. He also believes the bill is unlikely to prosper.
Kahit na makalusot siya rin sa Kongreso, palagay ko, ibibito rin ang presidente yan dahil sinabi na ng presidente na walang pilitan dyan eh. Pangalawa, hindi naman ang problema yung pilitin mong bakunahan yung tao. Ang problema natin ngayon, wala pa yung bakuna eh.
U.S. drug company Moderna applying for the emergency use of its coronavirus vaccine here in the Philippines. Philippine Ambassador to the U.S. Jose Romualdez earlier said the Moderna vaccines are expected to arrive this June. This development comes amid a delay in the rollout of other vaccines in the country. The administration of 500,000 doses of CoronaVac vaccines that arrived last Thursday has yet to begin. Officials say they are still waiting for a certificate of analysis from the manufacturer Sinovac.
Ito yung dapat makita din ng FDA at makita ng vaccine cluster na itong batch na to okay for distribution. Yung Sinovac COA, darating yon sa April 29, yun na yung panahon na pagdi-distribute sa mga allocated sites ng Sinovac vaccines.
The initial 15,000 doses of Russia's Sputnik V vaccine, which was supposed to be delivered last Sunday, has also been pushed back due to logistical issues.
Puno na yung flight. At the same time, nakita natin talaga yung criticality ng handling eh. Kasi it will be in ampules, not in vials. And considering also that the transaction has been only done last week, medyo nagkaroon po tayo ng delay.
The U.S. will share up to 60 million doses of AstraZeneca's COVID-19 vaccine with other countries. That's as it comes under growing pressure to do more to address the global pandemic. The White House says around 10 million doses will be exported in the coming weeks. 50 million more doses are still being produced and will be shipped over the next 2 months. A dramatic escalation in the months-long dispute between the European Union and AstraZeneca. The bloc has sued the drug maker over an alleged breach of their vaccine supply contract and delays in deliveries. More in this report.
The European Commission is launching legal action after AstraZeneca said they were only aiming to deliver a third of the number of COVID-19 vaccines ordered by the EU. All 27 EU states are backing the move, accusing the company of not respecting its contract. Here's the EU Commission spokesman.
What matters to us in this case is that we want to make sure that there is a speedy delivery of a sufficient number of doses that European citizens are entitled to and which have been promised on the basis of the contract.
Under the contract, AstraZeneca had committed to making, quote, its best reasonable efforts to deliver 180 million vaccine doses to the EU in the second quarter of this year. That would make a total of 300 million in the period from December to June. But the company said in a statement on March 12th, it would aim to deliver only one third of that. A week later, the EU Commission sent a legal letter to the company in the first step of a formal procedure to resolve disputes. They accuse AstraZeneca of not having a reliable plan to deliver on time.
Back here at home, some Philippine House lawmakers want government officials, or at least some of them, punished for negligence and lapses in responding to this pandemic. Six congressmen jointly filed a bill that aims to penalize inaction and irresponsibility, as well as certain graft and corrupt practices during a state of public health emergency. The penalties include imprisonment of 5 to 12 years and perpetual disqualification from public office. The measure was authored by House Deputy Speakers Eddie Villanueva, Bienvenido Abante Jr., Bernadette Herrera D., Michael Romero, and Representatives Domingo Rivera and Alan Reyes. And for more on this, we're now joined by House Deputy Speaker Bienvenido Abante Jr. Congressman Abante, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you, Carmina, for inviting me to be in your program.
Salamat po. All right. Let's move on with the discussion. I want to know first, what pushed you to craft such a bill? What was the trigger?
Well, let me explain why we decided to come up with this bill. Despite existing laws that punish erring public officials, ordinarily, that law would be enough. But this pandemic has shown us that these are not ordinary times. See, I mean, dahil sa COVID-19, marami nagkakasakit at namamatay sa ating mga kababayan. So, yesterday, we marked a grim milestone as we have now recorded more than 1 million cases of COVID in our country and close to 17,000 people have lost their lives to the disease. Our healthy system is being pushed to its limits. Our mobility is restricted because of lockdowns. And our economy is suffering because of it. So, it's very clear. We now live in extraordinary times, and extraordinary times call for extraordinary measures. Kaya po, ang tinutukan po nito ay ang negligence at corruption during a state of public health emergency, as we explain in our bill. When we are in a state of public health emergency, there is a high probability of a large number of deaths on a large number of serious injuries or long-term disabilities in our country. And that is why we filed this bill.
All right, Congressman, I want to know first, let's get into the grounds. I want to know first, what constitutes negligence based on this bill?
Well, okay. In such a scenario, the consequences of negligence and corruption during a crisis such as this pandemic are magnified exponentially, no? Because lives are at stake. Buhay po ng tao dito nakasalalay. The price we pay for negligence and corruption is much, much steeper. Negligence could result in our countrymen not receiving timely aid, or medical assistance delays could lead to deaths. And we have seen this happen because there is much delay in the procurement of vaccines, for example. Corruption, on the other hand, could result in the government paying more for medicines or vaccines. And of course, when you pay more, that means you can procure less. Yan po ang mga gusto nating tugunan sa bill na ito.
So halimbawa, Congressman Abante, yung daing no dati ng mga tao for the borders to be closed down before any of the new variants entered into the country, there were a lot of people already saying we have to close our borders even in the early days of the pandemic, but that didn't happen. Would that constitute negligence?
Yeah, I believe so. Makikita naman po ninyo, if you're going to look into the bill we have, okay? So what does this bill punish? So under Section 5, these are some of the crimes that will be penalized. For example, like negligence in crafting the necessary government response to the public health emergency, neglecting or refusing after due demand or request without sufficient justification to act within a reasonable time on any matter pending before him, her, relative to any issue on public health threat, or negligence in the performance of duty relative to securing needed medicines, vaccines, supplies, or facilities necessary in the containment or eradication of public health threat. Kasama po dito mga bakuna. Yesterday, we had one pastor, his wife, and his daughter hospitalized in a certain hospital in Baguio City. And they are being charged as far as the testing is concerned, the remdesivir that they are being given to. They're being charged when PhilHealth says that they should not charge. No hospital should charge this. Mm-hmm. So sabi ko sa PhilHealth, they should do something about this because this is now actually a violation of the DOH rule, you know. So may mga bago ng bagay ba that you would like to actually enforce, okay? Or delay, or causing delay in the disbursement of public funds intended for public health emergency response of the government. Now we find that there's a lot of hospitals right now that are actually complaining that they're not being paid on time by PhilHealth, you know, or hospitals that are not actually doing what they're supposed to do and charging patients when they ought not to be charged. Mga ganun bagay.
Because also when I was reading through the bill, you also talk about inefficiency and lack of vision, that acts imbued with these should be penalized as well. So those are the examples of that. Could you give me other examples, Congressman, based on what you're seeing like now, right now, this lack of vision and the inefficiency?
Well, like for example, there is tampering or non-disclosure of full and complete epidemiological data with the purpose of downplaying the real situation. No? Meron mga tinatawag nating fake or false data or entering on behalf of the government into any contract or transaction manifestly and grossly disadvantageous to the same, whether or not the public officer profited or will profit by it. Or directly, ito ha, itong pinakamahalaga, directly or indirectly requesting or receiving any gift, present, share, percentage, commission, or other pecuniary or material benefit like tongpas, for example, in connection with any contract or transaction with the government. Now, although there is already an existing law on this, so we've got to remember and realize again that this are not ordinary times, okay? Yeah. And other similar or analogous acts, provided that these acts were committed in the course or during a public health emergency.
Here's the thing, though, Congressman Abante. You have been saying from the beginning of this interview that these are actual, you know, situations, actual things that are happening that you yourself have observed. If you're seeing this now, can't we use the current mechanisms in place right now to prosecute these individuals who are responsible for these inefficiencies, the lack of vision, corruption, and all that? Go ahead.
Actually, the reason why we filed this bill, no, I hope that when we open the session on May 17, that this will be tackled immediately, because right now we do not have enough laws to be able to go after all of these violations. That's the reason why we decided to actually file this bill.
Doesn't that paint a sorry picture of where we're at right now, Congressman Abante? I mean, truthfully, we're in the middle of the pandemic. You're relying, everyone is relying on all these government officials to do what is right and not for other people to tell them what to do, because they're supposed to know what to do anyway. And yet, this reminder and this bill have to be crafted.
I would think that the very reason why there are some people in government or in the private sector, in the hospitals, that could be able to do these things, glaringly, because there's not enough laws to be able to really stop them from doing that. That's why we have filed this bill. Hopefully, this will not take long, no, because the Senate must also act on this immediately. So hopefully that while we are in this pandemic, we could be able to have this bill become the law so that we could be able to address now all of these inequities and everything.
But it's not going to be retroactive.
Well, you know what? We have to think about that also, because we have nakalagay po sa aming bill that all offenses punishable under this proposed law shall prescribe in 10 years. Ibig sabihin, if you did it at hindi masyadong pinag-usapan yan o na-charge yan, well, you know, within 10 years, pwede pang i-prosecute yan. Although, what you're saying about the retroactive thing, no? Palagay ko, we should think about that. Thank you for the tentative.
Why do you say so? Why do you say so?
Well, you know, for example, like we don't have any law right now, okay? And we know this to be happening. So if this becomes a law and we say, okay, we are going to file charges against those people that did this in the beginning of the pandemic, that would be a retroactive thing, you see? Or if we don't file it immediately, and they don't file it immediately, and it takes some time for them to be able to collate all the evidences, and then there's a prescription for 10 years on that.
Aren't you concerned that some of the president's top advisors may just be held liable based on the criteria that you have put in this bill? And if it's going to be retroactive?
Well, it might be. You know, I mean, of course, nobody wants to make it retroactive. It's just like the bill I filed in 2007 on the right, on the Freedom of Information Bill. It almost became a law. And the very reason why it did not become a law, because of the retroactive effect of the bill.
Mm-hmm.
Yun ang reason why the Freedom of Information Act bill was not actually ratified in Congress, because of the retroactive provision of it.
Yeah.
Kaya medyo, in a way, mahirap, no?
Opo. Because syempre, at the end of the day, you know, you're going to have to protect your own. That's the reality.
Well, that's right. That's the reason why, wala pa kami nilagay dito na retroactive provision. But when we are able to debate on this on the floor or in the committee, we might as well put that in because it's happening right now. It's happening right now.
Yeah. Because you're gonna look really silly. I mean, if you don't put it in, because you're in the middle of it and you're seeing it, and yet you're gonna choose to turn a blind eye to it and say it's not gonna be retroactive. I mean, that's not gonna look nice for you guys, right?
Well, in fact, marami na kami na nababalitaan ng mga sumasablay at kumikita sa pandemya. And so, sa amin, we should not anymore allow this to happen.
Diba? Kasi parang ang ganito lang yun eh, Congressman. You're seeing it right now. You have this bill. And yet, when you deliberate, you're just going to wait for the next pandemic. Whenever that will happen.
Yeah, that's a good point. Really a good point, Carmina. And thank you for telling me that. No? In this bill, naniniwala kami, our people deserve accountability.
Exactly.
They demand accountability. And we believe this measure will ensure that accountability. Hopefully naman, wala naman sigurong congressman or senator that would go against this bill. No? If they really would like to see to it that everything is being done right.
Okay. This is not going to happen in a vacuum. And you know that. And you know that there's a supermajority there at the House of Representatives. And you know that if you don't make this, or if you do make this retroactive, then it's going to be the president's men, a lot of the president's men, who are going to be held liable. So what are your expectations based on the reality in the lower house, Congressman?
Well, that's a $64 question, actually, Carmina. The reality perhaps would be that there will be, you know, a number of congressmen who would think about this for quite some time. But, you know, I do believe that many congressmen would agree with this proposal. No? Only perhaps they would have some reservation when they think about the retroactive provision of the bill, actually.
But politics should have no place at all in the deliberations and the crafting of this law.
Well, I believe so. And what we need are more congressmen that would look into this with objectivity, you know, not with politics, but with objectivity. And I do believe also that the president would want this to happen because he is against any kind of corruption. He is against any kind of incompetence. He is against any kind of negligence. So I believe that anyone in his own right mind that would be against negligence, corruption, or ineffectiveness, or incompetence would agree with this bill.
Okay, finally, on to another topic. Before I let you go, you also filed a bill seeking to reallocate the 16 billion peso fund of the National Task Force to End Local Communist Armed Conflict. What are your reasons for doing so, and what's the support that you've been getting regarding that?
Well, I was just told today that somebody called me up and said that medyo pinakahaguluhan na yung bill na yan. No? The thing is, kasi I really do not believe in red tagging. I mean, it does not help the government at all. I believe that we already have the intelligence agency in the armed forces, the intelligence agency in the Philippine National Police. So we don't actually need NTF-ELCAC, you see. I mean, I always say this. If you believe that there is enough evidence that you could be able to get on people that would like to have an armed conflict, you can always go to the courts. But, you know, going to the court of public opinion and red-tagging those people. Ako, for example, me, when I was a minority leader, Carmina, I was red-tagged. Just imagine I was red-tagged. I was pronounced to be communist, pronounced to be NPA. That's why I said, listen, during the 1986 revolution, I was actually fighting the NPA by means of, by debate and words. Now I would be red tagged, no? So I do not believe in red tagging. I believe
okay,
that...
Very quickly, Congressman, because you're telling me to wrap up. Reallocate to what?
Well,
where do you want to see the money go?
We would like the $19 billion to be reallocated to Dole, para sa Tupad, to give more employment to people. We would like it to be reallocated to DSWD so that there will be more ayuda. And, of course, the president would like to put up a vaccine facility in the Philippines. So I would even say that we could reallocate this to DOST so that they could be able to continue on putting up a vaccine facility so that we can have our own vaccine facility in this country.
Okay, interesting discussion we had today. Thank you so much, Congressman Benny Abante, for joining us. Take care. Keep safe.
Thank you, Ms. Carmina. Thank you.
All right, moving on with the rest of the news today. Two Filipinos in India. Well, they've died of COVID-19. Philippine Ambassador to India Ramon Bagat Singh Jr. says the embassy is communicating with the family of the victims for the funeral arrangements. He adds at least 20 Filipinos in India are also infected with COVID-19. Bagat Singh says while the embassy in New Delhi is doing everything to help them, the country's strict lockdown is hampering efforts.
Regular naman ang communication namin sa kanila at kung anong tulong ang kinakailangan nila. Dahil lockdown din dito ngayon, hindi rin makakalabas. So yung mga basic necessities na pangangailangan, pati mga gamot, we are working out that we can supply them all these basic requirements. No? Kaya maingat din kami dahil lockdown dito, hindi naman pwedeng basta-basta lumabas. At napaka-virulent, napaka-lakas, nakakahawa itong tinatawag na double mutant strain. Kaya ingat na ingat din kaming umikot. At hanggat maaari, puro karamihan sinasabi namin sa kanila, mag-online purchases at order na lang. And we just find a way to provide them the funds. So we are in constant communication with them.
Meanwhile, Bagat Singh leaves it up to the Philippine Health Department and other experts to decide whether it will ban travel from India or not. The World Health Organization will send extra staff and critical supplies to help fight the COVID-19 outbreak in India. 2,600 more WHO staff members will be deployed to the COVID-stricken country, where officials describe the situation as heartbreaking. They warn this could happen in other countries as well.
We're still in the acute phase of this pandemic, and the trajectory that we are seeing globally is incredibly worrying, with the ninth straight week of increasing incidence around the world. Clearly, it's not being driven at the same level of intensity around the world, and we're all looking about how we reopen up societies. These need to be done in a staged way, in a staged approach, where first and foremost, we get control over this virus.
Globally, the COVID-19 pandemic continues to intensify. Cases have now increased for the ninth straight week, and deaths have increased for the sixth straight week. To put it in perspective, there were almost as many cases globally last week as in the first 5 months of the pandemic.
Over the next 2 weeks, the WHO will decide on whether or not to give emergency approval for China's two main COVID-19 vaccines made by Sinovac and Sinopharm. Thailand's Prime Minister fined for not wearing a mask after new COVID-19 restrictions took effect in the country. Bangkok's governor said the Prime Minister was fined 6,000 baht or $190 after a picture emerged on social media on Monday showing him maskless during a meeting. Wearing masks is now compulsory in public spaces in Thailand's 49 provinces and its capital, Bangkok, where the latest outbreak has been traced to a nightlife district. Thailand on Tuesday set a new daily record of COVID-19 fatalities at 15. New cases were at 2,179. We'll take a break now. Up ahead, the rape with homicide complaint against 11 respondents in the Christine Becerra case dismissed. We'll tell you why when Dateline Philippines returns. Stay with us here on ANC. We're back with more news. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. President Rodrigo Duterte is set to announce new quarantine classifications in the Philippines on Wednesday. Several Metro Manila mayors back an extension of quarantine measures for the capital and nearby areas for at least one more week. Let's bring in now Valenzuela Mayor Rex Cachalian for his thoughts on a possible extension of the MECQ in Metro Manila. Good afternoon, Mayor Cachalian. Nice to see you again. Thanks for joining us today.
Carmina, thank you for having me. Good afternoon, and good afternoon to your televiewers as well.
All right. Now, there was supposed to be a meeting yesterday afternoon, right? But that didn't push through. What happened there?
I'm not sure, Carmina. I'm not aware that there was supposed to be a meeting. I don't know where that's seeping from, but wala akong alam na ganung meeting, to be fair about it. So, baka miscommunication somewhere along the line, pero walang ganung meeting. Nothing was canceled. Wala talagang meeting.
But are you still going to meet with the other Metro Manila mayors to talk about your stand or maybe even your personal opinion on the restrictions?
Actually, this morning I was consulted. Tinanong ako ng MNDA and I told them, like the others, most of the mayors ng Metro Manila or some of them, I'm backing the extension of the MECQ kahit na 1 to 2 weeks. Why? Because like in the case of Valenzuela, we're definitely seeing a decline in cases. As of late last week, we were doing 1,300 active cases. Now we're down to 800. Remind you, 800 was our number right before the surge happened. So it's on a downward trend. Even our positivity levels are below 20 already. It's around 18 or 19. But it's not yet the level that we want. So right. If you ask me, since we've gone through the pain of doing an ECQ, an MECQ, maybe another 1 to 2 weeks MECQ might help flatten it again. And bring it back to levels where it was, let's say, February or January.
Because what you're seeing right now may just be the result still of the ECQ. And when we ease back into the MECQ, we're not seeing the numbers yet, Mayor.
Yes, and that's why I always want to err on the side of caution. We want to make sure that whatever decision we make will not put the ECQ pains down the drain, diba, so to speak. Definitely, the ECQ's effects we're starting to feel now. And I really believe that even the MECQ, there will be effects to that. Kasi it's on the top of the psyche of the people already to go back to being strict about minimum health standards. Of course, limited pa rin yung movements nila with the curfew in place and liquor ban in place. So extending it will definitely help, at least in my opinion. Valenzuela will always respect the national government's decision. But if you just wanted to ask me my opinion, that's what I communicated to our MMDA chairman this morning.
Okay, let's talk about the vaccination now. How is your rollout going there in Valenzuela?
I mean, it's smooth. What we're doing here is a by-appointment system. We're not doing any walk-in kasi our population is generally being manageable. We're not so big of a city that meaning you have to, it will be hard to launch a by-appointments logistics. For us, it's everybody who registered online with a comorbidity as well as listed down a senior citizen will get an appointments letter. Per hour, we do an average of around 40 to 50 per appointment hour. So it's going smoothly. So meaning we're pacing ourselves in the sense that we're doing our vaccination in the safest possible manner. Meaning may social distancing yan. Kasi if it's by appointments, you won't see a surge of people coming in. About to finish our on-hand vaccines in probably 5 days' time.
So you only have 5 days left
worth of vaccines. Yes.
For the first round.
Yes, for the first round. Because remember, the second round is already with us. DOH gave that to us already, so they're in the storeroom now, in the cold storage. For the first dose, we have around 5 days. Worth of vaccines left. We should be done with that. For the second dose, we're starting the second dose of most of the people by May 8th onwards. So that supply is already with us, so people need not worry about getting their second dose. It's already with us.
Okay. But do you find it worrisome that you only have 5 days supply left for the first?
Not at all, because over the weekend, we got a bit of good news. Secretary Vince and General Gavis assured us that there are more vaccines coming in middle part, or I mean within the week. So I'm assuming it's any time now. So it's middle of the week by tomorrow. In fact, Valenzuela is going to get around 4,800 first dose again of Sinovac. So that will give us another 1 week of supply. So, and they assured us that this won't be the last. There will be more coming in. In fact, from their projection, I think we're going to see a big chunk coming in starting May, June, and then July. And then remember, the LGU bought AstraZeneca's by July. That, those should come in. So it's coming into play, so to speak. Everything's being paced out properly.
You know, you're one of those mayors who are really accessible to the people. We see it in reality. We see it on Twitter. You converse with your constituents. What are they telling you, though, about the vaccination rollout and how they're feeling after they got vaccinated? What's the response been?
Well, Camila, first things first. When we started with the people with comorbidity, kami baliktad eh, we started with the people with comorbidity first. The turnout was really low. Remember, we are doing a by appointment. So we'll send out an average of 50 invitations for one block hour. The turnout was at around 45% to 55%. But you know what? When they started seeing their neighbors, their friends, their relatives getting vaccinated, our average turnout for by appointments now is at 80 to 85%. Even on a weekday. So you can see the hesitation lowering and the turnout doubling. So we think as people see more of their neighbors and peers or themselves, they see, you know, they're not just seeing political leaders getting vaccinated. They're not just seeing aspirational people getting vaccinated. They're seeing Juan de la Cruz getting vaccinated. People that look like them that they actually know. Then these people getting vaccinated without any side effects. So suddenly the hesitation is going down. So I'm confident as we roll it out, it's getting smoother. People are getting more enticed to get vaccinated. The LGU launched a massive information campaign wherein we used man on the street. People who actually got vaccinated talk about their experience. Carmina, in Valenzuela, we're very, very strict with the by appointment system because that's part of the overall experience. We don't want these people going to... yes, they'll get vaccinated, pero you know, they'll see the disorganization in the vaccination site. That's a turn off. So kami, we want to give them the whole experience. Yes, the vaccine is there, but we'll make sure that experience is as seamless, as painless as possible for you. So that when you come out of the vaccination center, you have nothing but good reviews. Kumbaga sa pelikula, you need people to talk about a good movie experience so that other people will start watching.
Tangkilikin.
Yes.
Tangkilikin ng pelikula. No, but that's a very interesting point, Mayor Rex, that you mentioned. So you find that once their inner circle is pierced, right, and then they see that the people around them, their inner circle is getting vaccinated, that is making the hesitancy go down. But I was talking about the hesitancy with Mayor Toby Tianco yesterday. And he said in the city of Navotas, they're having a hard time convincing those in the low-income class to get vaccinated. Is this the same story in Valenzuela?
Carmina, I will reserve that for 2 days from now because we're done with all people with comorbidities and senior citizens who actually took the step to register. Because remember, when you register, there is an explicit acceptance on your part. You took that step to register. Ngayon, sadly, naubos na namin yon. Yung A2 at A3 sa system, wala na. So what we did now is, we're going to use the city's database na senior citizen, that's around 57,000, and we're going to pre-register them. Meaning, even if you didn't register, I will register for you. Kasi we're trying to solve yung mga narinig namin na we don't have load, so we don't know how to do it. Yung tech difficulties ng mga senior.
Okay.
So ngayon, unsolicited.
But this is not to be confused with mandatory vaccination.
But ang mangyayari, in their appointments letter, they will get a schedule, a venue, and a time, pero naka-explicit nakalagay doon. Ang pagpapabakuna na to at ang imbitasyon na to ay voluntaryo. Kapag ayaw nyo, all you have to do is punitin yung papel na yon para hindi magamit ng ibang tao. So that unsolicited registration will start tomorrow. Ibig sabihin, doon ko lang malalaman if they actually showed up. Kasi mataas na yung turnout namin sa mga nagparehistro. So people who registered, they're really showing up. Now,
okay, so,
I want to see those that did not register that I registered for them.
Okay, so I guess same time next week, we're going to talk again.
And I will be able to share our experience on the, I call it the, solicited registration. We solicited them na mag-register by us registering for them. Okay. While as to yung voluntary na sila nag-register.
Okay, we're going to talk to Vilma. Expect a call from Vilma.
Just to make, baka people might misunderstand what I said. We took the liberty of registering them, but we're not forcing them to show up. It's still up to them if they want to show up. Kasi nga, may naririnig kami, oh, we don't know how to register. My Lola doesn't have load, so we can't register. So sige, we're going to draw from our senior citizen database and register you all.
Okay. We're going to have to leave it at that. I'll see you next week. Expect that call. Mayor Rex Gatchaliano of Valenzuela, thank you so much for joining us today. You keep safe. Take care.
Thank you for having me again. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye. Moving on with the rest of the news today, the Makati City Prosecutor's Office junks the rape with homicide complaint filed against 11 respondents in the Christine Dasera case. The criminal complaint was rejected due to lack of probable cause. The Philippine National Police had said in a medico-legal report, Dasera died due to natural causes. The PNP initially suspected foul play in the flight attendant's death. The 23-year-old Dasera was found unconscious in a bathtub at a hotel in Makati following a New Year's Eve party. On to some sports action before we go. The San Antonio Spurs came away with a thrilling 146-143 overtime victory against the Washington Wizards. Spurs wingman DeMar DeRozan scored 9 of his points in the fourth quarter in extra session. He finished with 37 points to negate the 45 points of Wizards All-Star Bradley Beal. The loss ended Washington's 8-game winning streak. And that'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Play back this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Safety.